at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to my favorite 2 hours of the week. Yes, the KMOX Home Improvement Show, where today we roll up our sleeves and dive into all things remodeling, renovation, and maintenance. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm here to be your guide through this world of home improvement and maintenance. You know, whether you're tackling a DIY project or looking for expert advice on hiring some contractors, fixing leaking faucets to full-scale kitchen, bathroom renovations. No questions are too big or too small. We've got you covered right here today. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, pick up the phone, and give us a call right here, 314-436-7900. So let's turn your house together into the home of your dreams. Keep it up to snuff for you and the maintenance and the neighborhood and all your neighbors around you. We've got the next 2 hours right here, so stay with me right here on KMOX. And like I said, this is my favorite 2 hours of the week, similar to what I do 40 hours a week, every day, 5 days a week, going out in the field with Mosby Building Arts and visiting people, clients, checking into jobs, just doing things to just help out is really the goal. And we can do the same thing right here today for your needs, your questions, or your remodeling and maintenance challenges is really what makes this show such a great pastime here on KMOX. So again, don't hesitate to give us a call today. 314-436-7900 is where you can find me. And we do have cards this afternoon, but we will have both hours if you want to jump on over and you want to stick around for the full home improvement show. That crowd can join me in the second hour and just tune into 97.1 FM for that hour and keep the conversation and the questions going. And speaking of conversations and questions, and last week we had some really good conversations, some good long detailed conversations too. We spoke with Mildred about using sealed direct vent gas furnace and water heater to eliminate that metal flue vent pipe that runs from inside the basement out through the chimney. We can eliminate that. And we also spoke with her about blocking off that fireplace entirely and maybe even considered removing the chimney entirely to get rid of the chances of water infiltrating in through the chimney cap, the brick, the tuck pointing, everything she had going on. So good, interesting conversation there on a lot of those things. So there is ways to do that and perform that, and it's something that we use here at Mosby Building Arts quite often, really just to make those flue pipes go away, to take an older home and create more of an open floor plan. There's always that big little area that's hidden somewhere between the kitchen, the living room, the hallway, near closets. There's a chase there that metal flue pipe comes popping through and just takes up space and makes it hard to get rid of those walls. So if you can change your units and get that out of the way, get them piped outside differently so it's better, it's safe, it's more energy efficient, and then you can take that flue out and consider what you could do to open up those areas and have some really nice open concepts going on around your house and changing your kitchen. We have a lot of conversations all the time whenever the kitchens come into play with can we take out a wall? Can we make more of an open concept? It's very, very common and a big part of our designing that we perform all the time at Mosby Building Arts there. So we've got John on the line. Let's jump right in and see what's going on. Are you there, John? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. I've got a question about a gravel driveway, if that's not too small of an issue for you.
Sure.
I've got all kinds of, you know, weeds and grass and everything growing up. It's about a 70-foot long driveway, and I just kind of wondering what the trick is for maintaining that and putting something down that's maybe not going to harm the environment or animals or anything like that.
Well, so they have changed. I mean, your typical spray weed killer, they have changed some of those formulas up, so they're not as damaging to the environment in that aspect. So and again, it's kind of like termite treatment or anything else. It's why it doesn't work as well as it used to, because it wasn't great for the environment. So basically, you've got a couple options. Of one, you use that weed killer just to try and keep that under control and down. And I just saw a video about a week ago. It was just kind of like one of those TikTok kind of things. I watch a lot of them when they show these different construction material items of how we do things, because there's always coming up with new and improved, easier ways of taking care of like a gravel driveway, or just cutting firewood like a splitter on the end of a bobcat. There's some really cool things that we've invented over the past 5-10 years or so, and I just watched one that was basically exactly what you're talking about, is a machine that they just use that churns that gravel driveway, basically just kind of digs it out, clips it up and flips it, and kind of gets rid of that grassy area in the center a little bit, and gets everything kind of cut and redone. And if you did that, then you could use your sprays and stuff for the weeds, but that's going to chop it up and change it and redo it. So that's another, with a gravel driveway, you do want to kind of churn that up, get more rock, spread it around, and it kind of, you have to do that every so often as the typical maintenance. So I think that can kind of help control those weeds too.
Yeah, I've seen on Facebook where people come on occasionally saying, hey, here's a Dawn mix with vinegar and this many parts water, and I was just wondering what the efficiency or effectiveness would be of something like that.
Yeah, I've personally never tried a lot of those mixtures on weeds, so I don't have any type of opinion on if it works just as well as any kind of Roundup or something like that. I just haven't really used that, so I usually just go get some weed killer.
Being such a long run that it is, you know, just it's roughly 9-10 feet wide and 70 feet long. I was just kind of looking for, like, all right, what do I do? Do I make something? Do I put it all in a barrel, like a 55-gallon drum, and then create like a piece of PVC pipe as wide as the driveway and drill holes in the bottom of it and just drive the truck back and forth along there to let it out? Because
yeah,
you know, the weed spray application, it'd be forever doing that.
You'd be out there for a really long time. Yeah. So, something like that's a great idea. I don't personally have any thoughts on, though, any of those. When you go online, you'll find all types of natural mixtures and stuff to do different things, killing weeds, cleaning, all sorts of different stuff, and I've never used any of those personally to see how well they work on the weeds or not, and I don't have a really long gravel driveway, so I don't have to try and, you know, my weed spray is a lot smaller. It's cracks in the driveway, and it's some garden area. So, yeah. But,
okay.
Yeah, it would be interesting to come up with a way, and I'm sure they make things, too, that for, you know, spraying like that, put on the back of a riding lawnmower or something like that would get that spray out there or that mixture out there a lot quicker and easier.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time for the question.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you you calling in, and we have got to get to a break here. I would ask Bob if you can hang on through the break. We will get to you when we come back. For everybody else out there, you can find me again. We've got plenty of time left. 314-436-7900 will get you straight to me, just like John and Bob coming up. So we'll be right back after these messages.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, we are back. KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, here, and we've got a lot going on, a lot we can go over today, but I'll be here for you for quite a while now. So anything about your house, you can find me at 314-436-7900. We've got Bob on the line, so let's go straight to Bob and see what's going on. You there, Bob?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay. We had a new roof put on our house last fall, and they also put in a new skylight. And everything was fine until we got to the this time of the year, and the sun coming through the skylight is too bright. And somehow or other, we have to be able to reduce that the sunlight coming through the skylight. Uh-huh. Any suggestions?
So, it'll depend a little bit on the manufacturer of the skylight itself. But they want the easiest thing you could do is you could have it tinted more, but and that'll reduce it. But that'll be permanent. So if you ever would like more light coming through, or when it's overcast, you're not going to get as much as you would before you tinted it. But I know that Velux skylights has a lot of options with blinds that you can put in there that are solar powered and battery operated and open and close, to where you can, just like the blinds on your windows, they run up and down, and they can be room darkening. They can be just kind of blocking where some of the light will come through, and they have a lot of options. So the best way to go is if the manufacturer offers, you know, some kind of blinds there, then that would be it would be the most versatile thing you could do to be able to open shut and maybe not even block all of the light. If you just want to reduce it in half, they can actually do that.
And you you use the term Velux. Is that a manufacturer?
Yeah, it's Velux with a V. So Velux is, there's a lot of Velux skylights out there. It's a very popular brand. It's what we use the most at Mosby Building Arts, and they have great flashing kits. We love them because they come with really good warranties that with their flashing kits and everything include leaking, and they have a lot of options out there. So I would recommend figuring out what the skylight is, like the manufacturer, and then going online and seeing if they offer some kind of blind system. That, because most of them I know they make them where they're solar powered with a battery, so it recharges the battery, so you're not climbing up to your skylight to change a battery to operate them, and it's on a remote control, so you can operate it very easily from the ground.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the information.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a problem at all. I appreciate the phone call. A great, great question. Something we deal with quite a bit all the time when we're looking at replacing skylights, is offering a lot of those options is a great thing to think about it and look at. So, but we've got Henry on the line. Let's get over to Henry and see what's going on. Henry, thanks for calling. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, got a question. I have a wall in my basement, and I need to expand my man cave. This wall was, it was added by the third owner, and it's not connected at all with the center support beam. So is it okay to just knock that wall out and do what I need to do?
So, yeah, Henry, typically the way a home is built, yes, your basements start unfinished and you've got your load-bearing I-beam and support columns and then everything else comes from around the perimeter of the basement. So generally speaking, as long as that other owner didn't change anything with the floor or the way that floor is framed, then you should be perfectly fine to take out any wall that's down there, any interior wall, as long as it doesn't incorporate any I-beams, columns, anything that holds up that floor above it, you know, running through.
Yeah, he, because he built this out, it's like probably, I want to say, at least 8 inches from the center beam. So I didn't think it had any effect on the support beam at all.
Yeah. And really all you'd be looking for is when you did go up there to look, typically speaking, every interior wall on a basement finish is going to be a non-load bearing wall, unless they've changed the circumstance of the floor framing above it. So if you look above that wall when you go to take it out and just make sure that the floor joist is solid running from one end to the other and it's not seamed over top of that wall, but 8 inches from your I-beam and columns and all that, there's pretty much no chance it would be.
Oh, great, great.
So, yeah, more you room can take it out and open it up and get you some room.
That's great. I can make my room bigger and move my stuff around.
What are you adding to your man cave? Like a golf simulator or anything exciting?
No, I am going to put one of those dry fire handgun practice target systems in here, and then I got a new home theater system I want to put in there with a big wall mounted TV. So
yeah, nice. That sounds just as exciting.
Enjoying my retirement life.
That's the way to do it. I appreciate the call, Henry. Have a good day.
All right. Great. You too.
Great question. You're welcome. And yeah, something that we have more conversations about than we actually end up doing is the whole conversation of the golf simulator and the man cave in the basement, because lowering basement floors to get the height to swing a golf club and to make that system work out and be what it needs to be can definitely get costly. So a lot more people investigate getting one of them into their basements than I think end up actually going forward with it because of what it takes to lower a basement floor. And you can't, it's hard to get the space for that too, because the way you lower the basement floor, you can't always go right up against the column or right up against the wall because your footings come in. So it's typically, if you look at an area that you think, well, I could lower here and that would be big enough. Well, the actual area we get to lower might be quite a bit smaller than what you're thinking in how it needs to be done in order to have it correct and not have issues with the house later, engineer it correctly. And that's another reason we get into, oh, I thought it would be this wide because that's how wide it is between these two areas. And it's like, no, but we can't do it that wide to make it work properly. So great calls, great questions. We got plenty of time for everybody out there. Again, you can find me right here today, Home Improvement Show, 314-436-7900. We'll have more questions and answers and comments coming up. Stay with us. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, guys, we are back again. lots of time for you. Plenty of show left, even beyond the Cardinals. We'll have another hour once we get into that on Camo X. You can jump over to 97.1 FM to keep following the show. Same number, same way to find me throughout the whole 2 hours. 314-436-7900 brings you right to me right now. We've got Mike on the line. I think Mike has a suggestion for Bob there. Mike, are you with us?
Hey, I sure am. Thanks. But Bob, if he doesn't want to spend a lot of money, he might want to look into getting a light-reducing film that are at any of the big-box stores. We put that on ours. It's going to keep him a little bit darker even in the fall, but it sure helps cut down and for a cheap price.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Having that film tint put on there is definitely an easy way to go. And that's just, once you pick what you pick, it's kind of uncontrollable unless you take it off and change
Correct.
It to a different one. But it still works in that time for sure. So, yeah, no.
Thank you.
Definitely, no problem. Okay. I appreciate the suggestion Thanks. There.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, and that's something, it is good to hear and look into different things like that for sure. If you could do that up front to understand and know what some of these options are, it's just a great way to figure out, go about it, and make sure you're getting what you want and what you like and what's going to work and help you out. So let's see if we can help Steve out. We've got Steve on the line. Are you there?
Yes.
All right, Steve, thanks for calling. What do you have going on?
If the radon test indicates that you need to do something with remediation on, to lower the level, on a walkout basement, about a 2,500 square foot house, what's the process and about how much would it cost? Just rough numbers.
So the process would be what they do is they go around. Is your basement finished, completely unfinished, or what's the condition of it?
Completely unfinished.
Completely unfinished is good. That's definitely good. That will be helpful. So basically, they go around and they seal as much of that floor as they can by means of any cracks around the perimeter where the floor meets the foundation wall. They'll caulk all that. They're trying to eliminate any area where the air can come out, a crack or something else. And if you have a sump pump, sump pit, they'll seal that off entirely. And if you have a pump in there that's running and working, you'll have to get a top for that basically just seals it off so air doesn't transfer out of that. You can still have the pipe come through it with some rubber gaskets. Then they'll go in and they basically drill a hole in your basement floor, and they will put a PVC pipe, like a 4-inch pipe, in it, and they run that up and outside the house or through the house all the way through the roof to the top of the roof line. You want it above any windows, all of that, so they get it past the roof line. So you can run it somewhere inside the house and through the attic, through the roof, or you can run it out the wall, like out the floor band board, and go on the exterior of the home. And then the pipe will go like around your soffit and higher than the roof. And that will create a pressure, an air draw, and it'll suck all the air from underneath that basement floor slab. So it takes that radon gas with it, puts it above the roof line and out into the atmosphere where it won't be inside your house, where it can harm you. Depending on the size of the house, cost in it's going to be kind of difficult, because depending on the size of the house, they may want to do two of those, depending on the size of that basement, how big and all of that. So the price could, it wouldn't double if they did two, because they're there. But so my house was fine for one. Some houses, they'll do two, one at each end, to make sure they're getting rid of all of it. And then depending on if they go outside or if they run through the house, how you go through the house can really determine what that cost can be. That's why you see a lot of them outside, because it's quicker, it's easier. You're not doing anything to the inside of your house. trying to go inside of walls or through a closet, all of that to get it outside. So, I mean, cost can be maybe $1,500 or $1,000 to $1,500 for one if it goes outside. And it can get well above that if you're going through the house, and definitely well above that if you end up needing two systems. But most radon, the type of companies that test for radon and install those, they can come out, look at your house, and give you a quote for nothing and help you understand what all they need to do. Because if you got a really good basement, it'll be a little bit more because they might have two sump pits to seal off. So it just depends on how much cracks they're sealing and all of that for that price.
Okay.
But I think mine was it was around $1,200 or something. They didn't have a whole lot of sealing to do for mine because I got a lot of finished area. So they were only able to seal off a couple sump pits and in unfinished areas where they could, but they couldn't get the whole perimeter.
Do you guys recommend any companies that do this that are certified or anything?
I'm sure we do. I don't have anything with me, but if you call our office at Mosby Building Arts, they can give you a recommendation to who would be good at putting in one of those radon systems. So the phone number there is 314-909-1800 for everybody out there.
All right. Appreciate it.
Sound good?
Thanks.
All right. Hey, no problem, Steve. Another great question. And this is also why I don't really, when you get these systems, they think about it a lot more. And there's a lot of areas now, township areas, municipalities that are requiring these systems to be put in when they build, simply because it's so much easier. You can have it hidden. I did mine on the outside of the home because it would have had to have run like right through my master bathroom. There would have really been nowhere to put a pipe that large inside the house in that area. It pretty much through the bathtub or the toilet is kind of where it would have been. So it's on the side of the house and it comes out and it goes up and goes around. It's not the most attractive thing, but it's health, it's safety. And that's why it's a great thing to test for, to retest for, and to, especially if you're going to live in your house a long time, if you're in it for the long term and you've been there 10 years, you haven't tested, go ahead and test. And I basically just bought a tester, put it down in my basement and found the reading, and we had been there about probably 8 years, and I was like, oh my, you know, this has changed from the time we moved in. So we got the system put in. It's a great thing to do, but if you could do it when you're building, it's even better because you can hide that pipe inside, run it through the house, get it outside. It's a totally great way to do it. So that's why they add all these things, the egress from the basement, the sump pits and lines around your basement to control water, the radon systems. They keep adding more and more to new construction that's required from the get-go because it's just so much easier to do at the time. And the next thing to come, probably in the next 10 or 15 years, I guarantee you, we're probably going to start seeing a lot of fire suppression, not smoke alarms, not detectors, but suppression that actually goes off and stops a real fire. That's going to be something that's going to be coming residentially before too terribly long. I'm sure we're going to start seeing it. So get prepared for that. So, and get prepared for me. Anything you got going on, we're still here. We've got plenty of time. We're going to jump into a break. But again, you can find me next segment and the whole next hour at 314-436-7900. Stick around and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back. Final segment for KMOX here, but we've got a whole nother hour coming up after that. If you want to follow the Home Improvement Show after this hour, just jump right over to 97.1 FM, and we will have a whole nother hour of the program for you. You can call in. Same number, same way to reach me, 314-436-7900 is where you will find me for the rest of this segment and the entire next hour. So we've had some really good different calls and questions and concerns on all sorts of different things. And last week I had one that is really common conversation we had with Dan and Paul. They had great questions about what to do with a crawl space in an older home. And Paul had brought up an interesting point that the system that I talk about all the time and we use in the really the best way to do it and get it high performance and not having issues down the road and keeping moisture out involves spray foam insulation around the band board, because the good thing is you get a lot of air sealing ability along with a higher R value of keeping temperature out, so you can really control. But then Paul called in and brought up a great point about one of the cons of that spray foam insulation is trying to inspect for termites. You lose that ability. And generally, when companies come out and do a termite inspection, they move your insulation that's around the band board of the house, and they're looking there, and they're checking there, and they're knocking, and they're feeling, and they're looking for tracks. And so really, it eliminates the ability to do that, because that stuff is thick, hard, glued. So there's pros and cons to pretty much everything that we do. And it is a necessity to really look at. And it's good to understand where to use these things and what some of the repercussions of using them can be. And then making a really good educated decision on what am I gaining, what am I losing, and what's really most important. And so it might be advisable, if you have a system like that and you seal up that crawl space, then you go ahead and just get a termite treatment done and taken care of, and you can know that then you're protected there. And the other way is looking from the outside and really making sure that you can see a lot of foundation from that outside, and looking for their trails and everything going up. But when you have the crawl space, the liner on the inside, you have the foam on the inside, termites can make their way on the inside of the ground, inside of that foundation. They're like little ninjas on how they know where to get in, where you won't find their trails. So if they come from the inside and you've got that all blocked off and the liner and that, then they can get in there and you really won't see it from the outside. So it might just be a really good idea to get someone out. And like, I used Holper's Pest and Animal Solutions to treat my house for termites. They got a great program. They remind you of their inspection every year so you don't miss it, so the warranty will keep around. So great, great service they did for me, and really I love the way they do everything. And so just think about that protection if you're going to have to do a crawl space or something like that to really make your home better on the inside. Then you protect it from the outside for sure. So we've got Elizabeth on the line. Let's jump in here and see what's going on. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for calling. What do you got going on?
Okay, 20 years ago, we had a company that started with an S and ended with an S, put in a furnace in one of our rentals. Okay. We are in the process of upgrading. We found out that they we noticed that they installed the furnace directly under the bathroom in the basement.
Uh-huh.
And that the return is directly under the tub.
Okay.
All the pipe for the tub is running through the return.
Okay.
And I have never, ever seen anything like that. And I'm wondering, when we do this upgrade, should we try to remedy that, or is that okay?
So is the drain pipe in
yes.
there also, along with the supplies?
Yes.
Because generally, when you have a cold air return run going through either through your basement floor or up the wall, you can have lines, whether water, electrical, low volt power, anything like that, inside that cold air return cavity. If it runs across it, just horizontally through it. So if they come into it and they turn and they just go up, that is okay to do. And it's not going to block so much air that it shouldn't really do any deficiencies or anything to your furnace. It shouldn't slow down your cold air return so much that it's going to harm or hurt the unit to have it in there. But if they are changing the whole unit and they can slide that thing one direction or the other, just a one or two floor joist and kind of change how they get that cold air return over there, and it's not a whole lot of money investment because they're changing it anyways, it'll add some because of that change in where that cold air return runs to get over there. But if they can do it, I would definitely, if it were mine, I would go ahead and do it just so I had access to that plumbing. And if you ever get a leak, if anything ever happens, you need to get to that plumbing from the basement. You're not trying to go through the cold air return. And if you have any smells, I've seen a lot of smells. Like if that drain was kind of half clogged and started leaking a little bit, or got a little bit of plumbing smell out of it, you'll start to get that smell throughout your whole house because it's literally running through that cold air and then dispersing throughout the entire house.
Yeah.
So if you can, I would. You don't have to, and it's not the worst thing in the world. But if you can, I would go ahead and move it and get it out of there just for the sake of it.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, and you can talk to them about what's the difference. If you move it, where would you put it and how much more does it cost, and figure that out and with them and make that decision.
Okay. All right.
All righty.
Thank you much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for calling. Great question. Something I've dealt with in the past before. Where do-it-yourselfers working too. I had one not too long ago, the toilet line ran through it, and when the wax seal started to give and they started getting a smell, it made the whole house smell. So not a great thing. So, hey, Nancy, if you can hold the line, we're going to have a little bit of a long break here, but I will get to you as soon as we return. We're going to take our middle show hour break here, and for everybody, we'll be on 97.1 FM in the next hour with Nancy. You can find me at 314-436-7900 all through that hour. So, hey, go Cards, and we'll be back after this.